This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Chapter 3 of this wonderful book. It's just full of wonderful things. I think riches and treasures of wisdom and understanding and beautiful things to talk about. The third chapter, then, Paul says to Timothy, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife. 3. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Wow.
Yes, power-packed stuff, isn't it?
It is, yes. My goodness.
I think most people are unaware of the fact that an overseer is the same as a bishop, is the same as an elder, and a pastor, too. In the New Testament, it's generally agreed, I think, by all scholars now, those are different names for the same
office. Same office, same position, it's not saying same effort.
The pastor and the elders being those. Although we may do that in our system, we've centralized the power. Perhaps not always wisely in one person. Ideally, you have a group of elders. You could have a senior elder. Of course, you could not pay them all if finances don't allow. You could pay none of them if they want to do it free, whatever. Lots of possibilities, but it's not the hierarchical system that developed in the Roman Catholic Church of all power concentrated in the bishop and the archbishop necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just a point that's generally agreed these days.
Yeah, I think that there has traditionally been a lot of misunderstanding related to these terms and phrases, overseer, elder, bishop.
Yes.
They're actually, as you say, they're just really the same thing.
Yes.
Different terms, all
from a different angle.
Basically,
exactly.
Yeah, describing the same same effort.
Nice
same
pictures,
thing.
Aren't they? A pastor is one.
Sure.
Shepherds the sheep.
Shepherd,
overseer
yes.
keeps an eye.
Sure.
And so on. Yes, not complicated, not difficult.
No, and and it's really odd to see systems developed where that you have the pastors, and then you have the bishops, and you have, and it's all artificial, I think. There's no basis for any of that.
It concentrated power unnecessarily in the top dog, I think.
Right,
this was
right.
easier than to enforce these doctrinal things later. That's not the way Paul sees it. I'm very much as a European interested in verse 3, not addicted to wine. That's right.
Ah, yes, yes.
The addiction to wine is very different from a moderate drink occasionally. And when you go to Europe, you know, this is very customary in many countries. Yeah. But addicted to wine is what he means. Not given to wine. Heaven forbid, you know, somebody who's at the bar knocking it back all day long. That's the worst possible
This can't
image.
Possibly work.
Cannot
yeah.
possibly
sure.
be right.
That's right.
But there are some translations try to get rid of that, and they said he mustn't have any wine at all.
Right.
Well, that was simply to read their own tradition. So not addicted to wine is what the Greek says. And not a fine, not pugnacious, not somebody who's looking after arguments, looking to argue.
Right.
Heaven forbid. Gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, I like that a lot.
Aren't these qualities that every sane person really admires, you know?
Yes. So there is a moral character that would be expected
Absolutely.
Of folks that are in these places. These
One other point, too, in verse 1, then, verse 1 of chapter 3. If he wants to be a bishop, overseer, pastor, and so on, it's a fine work he desires to do.
Ah, yes.
Notice you don't have to have a blinding call from God, necessarily.
Right. That's right.
In individual cases, God can do this as he wills. But if you've got it in your heart to be an elder, go for it.
Right.
Provided you have the following qualifications. I like that.
Right. And this is a noble thing.
Noble thing.
Wonderful, noble thing. But keep in mind that though one may have this desire, nevertheless, a moral character is expected
and
an ability to do this this effort, this task, to be fair to the people who are to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure the helper is really capable.
Able to teach. I mean, that's quite a demand.
Isn't that nice?
It's not very easy for some.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a natural teacher, but he needs to be able to do all things.
Not quarrelsome.
Mm-hmm.
But not being quarrelsome doesn't mean that they're not a person who wouldn't take a stand for what's true and right.
Very true.
You know, in an appropriate way.
Absolutely.
They have to be solid people.
Yes.
But I think this is an interesting thing, too. You have to wonder at times. Not a lover of money.
Mm.
I think it should concern us as Christians when we see entire ministries or preachers who, if you wanted to think about it, they spend as much time talking about money as they do anything else. Sometimes more.
Very bad sign.
Yeah, this is not a good indication that,
warning
that things are well.
Signals, I think.
Yeah, and it's not wrong of Christians to look at that and say, I think there's probably something wrong here. This isn't right. In fact, it's appropriate that Christians would have that sense of maturity and judgment to be able to look at something and say, that's just not right.
No,
there's something wrong here. And the love of money
is a root of all evil. Not the root exactly, so elsewhere. It's not the ultimate cause of all evil.
Right.
It's a possible root.
Yes.
Of all kinds of evil.
All kinds of evil, that's
right. Well, of course, that's self-evident as we think about it.
Wow. But, I think that Paul here, in laying these things out, is recognizing that there might be those who might have an interest in taking this role of overseer or pastor, but they would not really be able to do that because they're not in various ways qualified to do that particular work.
Right.
So that's interesting. If Paul was concerned that this person should not be a lover of money, I think if Paul were here today, he would also be troubled when he sees ministers and ministries today that seem to be too much about money, sometimes seemingly all about money, but
Very bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm not very impressed by all this business about sowing financial seed and all that.
No.
I mean, that's not really a scriptural.
No.
I think we're twisting scriptures for our personal gain there at times. Well, I say we, those who do that.
Yeah.
It's not good. No, not good at all.
Not at all a good sign.
And twice here he talks about the devil getting the advantage.
Right. Absolutely. Verse 6, it's important, I think, to translate correctly with the NASV here. Not a new convert.
Mm-hmm.
So that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil.
Wow, yes.
So a little bit ambiguous, just the condemnation of the devil. Mm-hmm. Now here the idea is the same condemnation the devil fell into.
Mm-hmm.
That proves, first of all, there is a devil and he became evil. He was not always evil.
Yeah.
He wasn't created evil. He fell into condemnation.
Wow, yes.
When that was exactly, was it when he saw Adam and Eve created in the garden, or was it before? It doesn't matter.
Right.
But he became guilty
and
so exercised his free will.
Right.
An angel had free will at that point. And then in the seventh verse, he must have a good reputation from those outside, so that he will not fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. That would be the sense that the devil could snare him opposite way.
Yes.
But we need to be quite sure that God did not create an evil angel and then punish him for being evil.
Right.
That would indict God very badly.
Right, certainly. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this thought, too, in passing. He's talking about not a novice, not a new convert.
Mm.
I think there is a wisdom there, a wisdom of Paul and of God, that to recognize that if you have a new convert, perhaps someone who's sharp and alert and learning and growing, but if he is perhaps too quickly thrust into a position of authority, one of the things that Paul's concerned about is that person may then actually become puffed up or conceited and say, look how good I am, or how powerful, or how rich, or in how
faithful,
how much I know, and so now I'm over others who are even older than me.
Right.
for someone who's not mature enough in faith, this can become a real pitfall, a failing.
The other side of that coin, of course, is that knowledge puffs up, Paul says. People take one verse to the exclusion of others. On the other hand, my people are destroyed in two verses.
That's right, for the lack of knowledge.
For lack of knowledge, they're going to rack and ruin.
Exactly.
They need knowledge desperately, but not if it's going to puff them up.
Right. Which begins to defeat the very purpose of good knowledge.
Right.
So knowledge is actually true knowledge is not an optional thing. We must have true knowledge of true things. Otherwise, how could we act upon the things? So many of the things we've talked about. You know, you have to have true knowledge of who God is in order to have your faith properly attuned to these things.
Yes.
And true knowledge about the kingdom of God.
Yes.
True knowledge about important things. But
Otherwise you're not responding to Jesus' the question put to him. What's the greatest of all the commandments? Listen, Israel. This is the signature tune of Israel.
Yeah.
It's the Jewish confession of faith.
Yes,
but it's actually the Christian confession of faith.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? Jesus affirmed it.
Yes.
At that point it becomes Christianized. Yes, a Jewish confession of faith. But it's equally the Christian confession of faith.
Absolutely.
Mark 12.
Right. And doesn't Jesus then soundly affirm that in his own terms, his own words in John 17:3, where that there's a direct reference then to him and his recognition, irrespective of what anyone had said before. Jesus is telling us the Father is the only true God.
In so many prayers in the Bible, that is affirmed. You know, and we should do this in our own prayer life. We affirm and tell God who he is, that we fully understand that he's one single person.
Yes.
I think that's an excellent practice. We can even recite the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
We
can put it in Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Not that we're going to Jewish roots or anything like that, but it doesn't hurt to impress this on our children. This
certainly.
Is absolutely solemn.
Yeah.
It's like the national anthem.
It's
like the Pledge of Allegiance. It's the central confession,
certainly.
And we need to be absolutely clear on that. Unfortunately, though, church history shows that we waffled on that, and with dire consequences.
And one thing here, too, Anthony, I think we're seeing this here, and then particularly, we'll see it again under the issues of what's being referred to as deacons, but we could have some question about Paul's full intent about the role of the women in the congregation.
Right.
We talked about we have to take these things in balance and consider all of what Paul has said in that regard. But it does seem to me, and this seems to reinforce what we were saying earlier, that when it comes to the issue of those in authority, that doesn't seem to fall to the women to be in that particular place or that role. And
I think that's right.
And that. There's a number of reasons that makes sense.
Can we put it this way, that Paul doesn't burden the women? We noticed, I think we have, that the men don't get to bear the children?
Yes.
That's a huge responsibility.
It is.
And that's where the woman's chief responsibility is. Now, I think there are women who have perhaps unwisely taken the title where they're not really functioning in an authority position. I mean, they may be good organized, all that.
Sure.
All that's fine.
Right.
But it is important to maintain that distinction. In a correct way. If we're claiming to be biblical, we need to go with the letter of the text, I think,
absolutely.
In this regard.
Absolutely. But again, it seems clear here that when it comes to the business of those who are overseers, now we're talking about an office, not just a function.
Right,
but
an office.
But an office, and which of course has function.
Yes.
But then we expect to find that this is men who... We're talking about his children. We're talking about men who would manage his own household, a man who would manage his own household well.
And if married, they have to be the husband of one wife. It does not say they have to be married.
They have to be married.
Otherwise, Paul would have disqualified
them. That's right.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's a very wooden,
that
normal
doesn't,
thing.
That doesn't work well at all.
Now, if they've been divorced, let's say, 30 years before, I think that's not relevant here. It's not a fact that divorce and remarriage would be the unforgivable sin that would mark you for the rest of your life. So the point here of a husband and one wife would be solidly married at the point in which we're considering as a candidate for office. I think that's the natural way to take that way, to take those things.
And those are things that could be looked at on an individual basis as a congregation moved along, as people moved along.
Good family man.
Surely.
with all those good qualities.
Yeah. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm, the deacons.
Deacons, mm-hmm. likewise, must be dignified,
mm.
not double-tongued, mm. not addicted to much wine. There's that business
same
again.
Caution.
Yeah. Not greedy for dishonest gain. So that's the concern of
yes.
not in love with money again, I think.
Indeed.
Okay. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience.
Yes.
And let them also be tested first. Wow. So we're again, not the novice, not the brand new or
yes.
the relatively new person.
Yes.
Let them be tested first. Let's get to know these people.
Yes.
Let's see what they're... then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves
mm-hmm.
blameless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Their wives likewise mm-hmm. must be dignified,
mm-hmm.
not slanderers,
mm-hmm.
but sober-minded, faithful in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife,
solid marriage.
Managing their children and their own households
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Wow, it's almost a parallel right down
oh,
the line
is.
With the
yes.
with what we just read about the
yes.
overseers.
It's a lesser office, obviously.
Yes.
It's a subordinate
so.
Office. To
more of a role of an assistant.
But he must be able to
yeah,
teach too, and to even
yes.
defend in other texts.
Absolutely.
Defend the doctrine.
Yes.
A good teacher. And the women there may, in fact, just be the wives,
mm-hmm.
Rather than a special category of deaconesses.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. We
yeah,
could
definitely.
We could do that, too,
yeah.
if we want to do it, but
yeah.
it isn't expressly stated.
Yeah.
And Phoebe was a deacon. She
surely.
Was a diakonos.
Yeah, that's right.
She was a financial supporter,
yes,
probably, which
surely.
Again gives the lie to the idea that all the women that day were incompetent and
totally
didn't do
not.
Anything.
That's certainly not true.
There were leading
not true
ladies
at all. No.
Who had good businesses.
Absolutely.
Going, and I think
yes.
Phoebe was one of those. Helped the church, yeah. prostatis in Greek.
Yes, yes.
Meaning a financial yeah. supporter, really.
Yeah. And in many ways, I can picture the deacons, whoever they may be, maybe the word deacon doesn't come across to us with the clarity that it should, but
right.
more in the role of assistance to the elders,
certainly.
To the
yep.
those who
mm-hmm.
are the overseers,
mm-hmm.
And taking various roles that would help them. You
mm-hmm.
kind of get the picture a little bit in Acts 6, I think.
Yes.
Where you have those
yes.
Those fellows being
right.
coming along and
yes.
they are assisting, if you will,
yes.
in the roles to
yes.
take responsibilities
yes.
from, in that case, that's the apostles,
right. yes.
who then could, as they
yes.
as they said, we're going to devote ourselves to
yes.
to the way to, the Word of God and to
and
prayers
prayer, which
and
is
to
very
the more
interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
makes good sense.
Others
though.
Taking those roles. I see something
good
kind
management.
Of along that line here.
I do too.
Yeah.
Good management.
And it all
sense.
Makes good sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have, but it's important that there be good people, not
oh, yes.
not new, not unstable, solid folks
mm-hmm.
that people could really
mm-hmm.
feel confident
mm-hmm.
about. And
of course.
Yeah, sure. So then verse 13 there mm-hmm. said, for those who serve well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves
mm-hmm.
and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Messiah Jesus. I like
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Confidence,
wow.
high standing. Yes, and certainly teaching does give you confidence, doesn't it? If you do enough of it and if you subject yourself to
yes,
reasonable
yes.
criticism, you refine your skills.
Right.
And the more you meditate on these things, mm-hmm. read around the subject, engage
right.
the subject, the more confidence you obtain in it.
Yeah. The... So I like that. The then in verse 14,
mm-hmm.
I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that, if I delay,
mm-hmm.
you may know how one ought to behave
mm-hmm.
in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth.
Yes.
Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up
yes.
into glory. Wow, I like
that. Isn't
that
marvelous? That's
beautiful,
a real confession.
It?
It's
yes.
not just Christian living. You know, it is Christian living.
Yes.
Every doctrine is Christian
sure.
living, but it's a statement about this faith that we're involved in.
Excellent.
Now, there is a point in 16 that we need to mention. The King James has God was revealed in the flesh, and there's a little trick.
Oh, yes, of course.
In the manuscripts there, that the word theos, which would have been abbreviated to a theta, that's a th and an s,
sorry.
You can easily produce theos from the word os, which is os.
Yes.
Imagine a big o and an s,
yeah.
which means he who. Modern translations have corrected this. Almost certainly a corruption, trying to push the idea eventually of the Trinity.
Mm,
although
mm.
Jesus is a manifestation of God, it's
mm-hmm.
quite clear, he reflects the Father, that's
mm-hmm.
not wrong. But the better translation would have, from a more stable manuscript, he who, os, exactly. rather than theos,
yeah.
was revealed in the flesh, he was, mm-hmm. as a human being, human person, vindicated in his spirit life, right, throughout mm-hmm. his life. He's mm-hmm. always in the right through the right. spirit, seen by angels, that's nice,
mm-hmm.
proclaimed among the nations as Messiah,
mm-hmm.
believed on as Messiah in the world, and then ascending to glory.
Yes.
Not going back to the Father, right, as mistranslated right. in John 16:28 in the NIV. Not going back to the Father, going to the Father, ascending to the Father,
mm-hmm.
going to sit at the right hand of the Father with the Bible's favorite mm-hmm. proof text of all,
yes.
Psalm 110:1, where God
yes.
speaks to non-God.
Yeah, that's
okay.
good. I like that a lot. That's actually very beautiful. And this,
yes,
this passage isn't difficult, is it?
No.
Really, it's actually very simple. We're saying he was manifested, the one who was.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Exactly.
It was, I know in my oneness mm-hmm. background,
mm-hmm.
I relied quite a lot on that verse and the King James statement, God was mm-hmm. Manifested.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that doesn't hold well at all, so I had to modify myself
Of course.
But he, the one who was manifest in the flesh, was vindicated by the mm-hmm. Spirit. He was seen of angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on the world. And I like this too. Notice the passive. He was taken up
yes.
into glory. He didn't even go up
God.
On his own. He
no,
was taken up.
God.
I like that.
A divine passive.
Yeah.
That word vindicated is interesting. It's exactly the same word as justified. I think vindicated makes good sense. He was proven to be right rather than wrong. And that's
yes,
justification
yes.
by faith. You're either right with God or wrong with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. Mm-hmm. We've made such a fuss about some of these theological terms.
Yeah.
Vindicated, justified, in the right, not in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all aim to have as our approval from mm-hmm. God and Jesus, of course.
Mm-hmm. I like this. Paul is writing to him. He said, I'm hoping to come to you pretty soon.
Mm.
He had left him there, as it were, to carry on and help
yeah.
the people. And
yeah.
But Paul's hoping to come back soon,
yeah.
I think. But he said, if I don't get back for a while, he said, I want you to know how the word here behave. It probably is more like how to conduct
Absolutely.
Yourself and
Absolutely.
How to conduct these matters.
Of course,
you know?
Eminently practical.
So, yeah. So
the church is the living God, the pillar and support of the truth.
And yes.
2 Thessalonians 2.
Yeah.
If you don't have a passion for truth, Paul said, you're not going to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10.
Right,
it's
yes.
no good
yes.
having a weak a pallid view of the
right,
truth. You
right.
better insist on the truth. Because guess what? If you don't, you're going to be into lies.
Yes.
And lies are not getting you anywhere.
Exactly.
And they're getting you nowhere
right.
fast.
They work against us. Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed.
Truth
yeah, like
at
that.
All costs.
So one thing I've noticed too, going back for a moment to the beginning of this chapter mm-hmm. before we move on, but the word overseer, we were talking about, actually there are a number of words that are
yes.
essentially interchangeable.
Yes.
Or
same office.
But here we have, is it not episkopos, mm-hmm. that in the Greek,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes translated bishop,
mm-hmm.
sometimes as here, overseer, mm-hmm. sometimes another term mm-hmm. might be used.
Yep.
But it's all the same word, no
yep.
difference to Paul.
Yep.
He's not making
right.
those distinctions.
Right.
So I think there's mm-hmm. false distinctions being made sometimes.
Yes,
in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Presbyter, you know, is the English word, but that's
yeah.
another
yeah.
name. It's much easier than
sure.
the complicated systems that emerge.
Surely, yeah.
Again, with the concentration of power at the top, it
right.
was easier to control the whole church,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which led to 1,000 years of Roman Catholicism, incidentally, that whole system, which we are questioning with our
Certainly.
Particular
yeah.
slant on history, suggesting
right.
that from the 2nd century onwards, under the influence of mm-hmm. Greek philosophers,
right.
opposed to the
right.
very Hebraic
Mm-hmm.
writers and leaders in the New Testament,
right.
everything changed.
Yes.
This is well known in history.
For goodness
People
sakes,
should
yes.
open their history
mm-hmm.
books and see that observers have noted that that happened. That's the disaster mm-hmm. from which we're trying to recover.
I was thinking about this too, Anthony, and as we read through the what's often called qualifications for the
yes.
overseers or
mm-hmm.
qualifications for deacons, but they're really things that generally would tend to apply to all of the people of God.
I would think so.
And we would expect that if you're going to be a successful Christian, a successful follower of Christ, you're not going to be a lover of money. Jesus talked
sure.
about that. He talked about all these things in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be a drunkard. This would not be good. And this goes on. Sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable.
Yeah.
But that would apply to all the people, I think. But we would certainly want to make sure that those who take roles of leading others, absolutely, leadership, that they certainly would be attentive to these things and would certainly would be qualified in these various ways. Not that no one ever could possibly mess up, but we certainly don't want to see we don't want to see people who are tended to these problems.
If they make a choice not to touch alcohol, that's perfectly fine.
Sure.
If that's their choice and is respected in sensible society across the world. But what is not right is to say that the Greek word enos, which is wine, really means grape juice.
Yes.
That then becomes an exercise in dishonesty.
Right.
It makes
right.
one more righteous than Jesus.
Yes.
One would have pointed one's finger at him at the wedding.
Exactly.
And Paul would have said, don't get drunk on grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that makes
makes no sense whatsoever. Yes.
That makes absolutely no sense. This is not a problem until we created a problem. Let's not do that.
That's right. we might find ourselves unhappily if Jesus were to come visit our church.
Yes.
We might put him out because he was not measuring up to our standards regarding some of these simple things. So we think.
isn't that something? What would Jesus make of a triune God on the books of
our
church?
Oh, my lands. That's right.
I'm not sure that he would find that in any way compatible. He wasn't a Trinitarian.
Absolutely.
Would not have known what that was, I think. He was a good Jewish Christian person and a model teacher for us. We might then consider following his greatest commandment in Mark 12:29. That has yet to happen, I think.
And as I think we were commenting earlier, I think Paul likewise would have been appalled at the kinds of things that we're seeing nowadays in Christianity. The idea that God is committee or multiple persons, whatever you want to say, it's just all wrong. And Paul would have, you would have
scratched his
head. Said, what are you talking about? What are you people doing here, for goodness sake? Well, they say, well, it's our tradition. He'd say, well, then you need to get your tradition out of this, out of the picture.
Yeah, with that huge statement of Jesus, in vain they worship, teaching for teachings the commandments of men.
Yes.
And Jesus saying that salvation is from the Jews. Paul saying, what advantage does the Jew have? Well, he was given the oracles of God.
Yes.
Are we paying attention with the greatest respect to the oracles of God delivered to the Jews?
Yes.
I'm not sure that we are.
I don't know that we are.
We sort of read our traditional Trinitarian stuff back.
That's right.
At the cost of sanity, when in Genesis 19:24 you have Yahweh rained brimstone from Yahweh.
Yes, yes.
The earliest church fathers, and some even in our day, say, there you go, you've got two Yahwehs. That's really absurd because Solomon gathered to Solomon.
Yes.
Come on now, this is an easy thing.
Yes.
Any decent commentary should talk you out of that, but
my
we
goodness,
seem desperate to hang on to evident foolishness
my
to
lands.
Defend our tradition. We don't want to do that.
It's just completely awful. Wow. And harms the faith of people.
Absolutely.
And the one true God.
Yeah.
And as God is chasing off in other directions, looking for God in other ways, and it's just, it's awful.